Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Sam, would you pot down this music, please? I have something else to play for Dana.
Uh-oh.
Something she needs to get used to.
Scott's been gone. Yep.
Wait, we're doing the Wabash?
I got it.
She better get used to this.
You know how to do the Wabash?
So,
glory in the combat.
We were talking
for the purple and the white
off the air.
Faithful to our colors, we will ever be.
Weirdo.
Fight ever fighting.
Okay.
While, for a Wildcat victory.
While Scott was gone, the last of my brood.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Emol.
Sam.
Oh, Emol.
Sam,
no.
I did not have this on my bingo card.
Nor did I.
But I am thrilled. I am thrilled to announce it. And you know that my heart is in Lawrence. You know how much that town has meant to our family. You know how much that school has meant to our family. I'm going to be there all weekend.
You're talking about Manhattan?
With the girls. Okay. Could you just give me a minute?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
You know how much it means to me.
Emol?
However,
every man's a Wildcat.
Everyone has to make their own path and their own decisions. Mm-hmm. And about a month ago,
sometimes we don't support them.
The baby said to me, you know, I think I kind of want to go look at K-State. And I just said, all right, let's do it, buddy. Let's do it. Let's go look.
Amen.
And he went and looked.
Okay.
And came back.
All right.
With a purple shirt. And I did not have this on my bingo card, but we are going to have a Wildcat in our family. Yeah. I'm thrilled for him. I really am happy for him. He is excited, is happy. And Scott, I want him to do this.
What does EMAW stand for?
I think it's Every Man's a Wildcat.
That is correct.
Here's what I know about K-State. I've only been
Nothing.
There once, and I was probably 19. Here's what I know about K-State. Mm-hmm. I have never met anyone who went to that school and said, yeah, that sucked. Everyone who goes there, they don't just like it. They love it.
Mm-hmm. It's a good school.
I'm happy for him.
It's a good agriculture school.
A little further away than I thought he would be, but all right.
He's out of the will, but you're happy for him.
No, I really, Sam, I really, really, really am happy for him. Although right when he told me that, I went and got a photo that I have of that sweet baby with Bill Self when I don't know, he was like 7 years old or six. We paid for the Bill Self camp, and you get the photo with Coach Self and all that stuff. And I held that photo up, and I go, oh, buddy, are we sure?
Wow.
Remember, we went to the basketball camp.
Can you name the basketball coach at K-State?
Ting. He's great. He's always in there with the students. He gives out his cell phone number.
That's right.
Wait, who?
Jeremy Tang.
Tang.
Jerome Tang.
Jerome Tang, whatever.
You know, Sam, there's going to be a learning curve here.
Okay.
Nobody cares, Sam.
She said Ting. You said Jeremy. I was just really confused.
I think generally I have to get on I-70 and pass Topeka and keep going. I mean,
correct.
There's going to be a learning curve here.
Correct.
But I am all in.
Will you wear purple shirts?
Absolutely, I will do that. When I'm there with him supporting him, I will do that.
Anywhere else? Nope.
Now, playing football or basketball, that's another thing.
What about when K-State comes to Lawrence to play basketball or football?
Well, what's funny is he is a lifelong KU basketball and football fan. Lifelong, since he was a baby.
Apparently not.
So, you know, I'll have to ask him. I don't know.
What's he going to study? Agriculture?
No. He's narrowing it down.
Farming?
No. It's so much more than that now. I can't believe I'm the one defending this.
I'm kidding.
Now, the girls,
I'm goofing.
The girls, you're going to laugh. They were like, wait, what do you, like, what? The girls were, they're still getting used to it.
If that is what he wants, then you have to support
him. I am thrilled for him.
I'm thrilled for him, too.
Good.
Good for him.
It's so fun. Just going to have to get used to driving west. A little bit further than I normally drive west.
And learn the Wabash, baby.
I got this. I got it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
You're not okay with it. I can see it in your. I can see it in your face.
Over the moon. Over the moon. Because okay. Here's the deal. He was kicking the tires on, let's go look at Arizona. Let's go look at all these other places I can't afford. And I'm like, oh, God, let's not do that. There's really only one school that would have been a non-starter.
Which is Missouri.
I mean, come on. Non-starter.
Really?
I live on State Line Road. You think for 1 second I would pay out-of-state tuition to send a kid to Mizzou? You're crazy. I mean, that's just literally, I would not do it.
I have a kid at UCM.
I love UCM. He was actually going to go look at UCM. Do they have in-state? Like, do they have a sharing?
Yes, it's in-state.
Yeah. So if you're a Kansas City kid, you can
a Metro,
you can go.
Yeah. I think good. Mizzou also has Metro.
I'm thrilled. All you Manhattan people, I am coming. I am coming to Manhattan. I'm coming to the Little Apple, baby.
Maya is a Jenny.
I can't wait.
Yep. Maya's a Jenny. The guys are the mules.
Yeah.
The girls are the Jennies.
And it's not like I don't have 40 other kids in Lawrence right now. Like, I can still go to Lawrence.
What would it stop you to go from going to Lawrence if you didn't have kids there?
Well, I mean,
this is going to get interesting.
Awkward if you're hanging out at the Bull on a Friday night and you're not there for Mom's weekend.
What are you? Wait a minute.
This is Mom's weekend. You know this is Mom's weekend.
I know.
Oh God.
So where are you going tonight?
Oh God. We have a progressive dinner for the seniors, and
what is progressive dinner?
We just bounce from, like, you know, place to place to place and have dinner with all the girls.
Called a bar hop?
Yeah, they're graduating. No, it's actual dinner.
Okay, and then where do we go after that?
I'm not sure. I think
Bullwinkle's?
I will tell you this. She asked me the other day, can I have some photos of you in college? Don't ask me why. It's a surprise. And so I think there's going to be something funny for the moms.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Libby did. Yeah, Libby started shoving her some of that.
Oh, no.
Miraculous
okay, so
hair
after,
that I used to have.
So after dinner tonight, are we going to the Hawk?
Probably.
The Wheel, which is right across
probably.
The street.
Probably.
Bullwinkle's, which is right behind the Hawk?
Probably. Okay. I don't know if we'll have time.
I don't know.
I'll tell you this. If we hit Sandbar, Taco Bell's in my future.
Do you have your student ID
so
locked and loaded,
please,
ready to go?
Sam.
Okay.
The bouncers will get to see all of the glory that is Dana's KU student ID.
Do you have your KU student ID on you right now?
Why would I ever leave home without it?
She carries it everywhere she goes.
I have no idea where mine is.
Oh, did you lose it?
Oh, sure I did. I probably threw it away.
Oh, it's my favorite thing. I go, you want to see my KU ID? The bouncers go, no, ma'am, you're good.
You're good.
Look at that hair. I'm like 19 years old.
What is that? That's a dude to the moon.
I know it. That's how we used to wear
it
in the
80s. How much hairspray is in there?
A lot.
Dana.
I know.
That hair is as tall as your face.
Don't you remember back in the 90s? We all did that.
Oh, my word.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And plucked your eyebrows to
oblivion.
I'm
just telling you, I was quite something back in the day, Scott. I tell the bouncers that, too.
No, you don't.
Yep. Roamed all over this town. Super excited.
The assertive zip.
Did you hear the zip of her purse?
I mean, there was some might behind that zip.
KUID's coming out.
Zip, zip.
You remember you asked Jack, does she really pull out her KUID? And he goes, every time.
Every time. Every time it works. Every time.
No, I can't wait. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Are you going to go to Louise's West?
You know, that's more of a local bar now. We used to hang out there in college. It's more of a local bar now.
What about the Yacht Club? Is that still there?
I do not believe that is still there.
What about Bench Warmers?
Definitely not still there.
What about Louise's Downtown?
Maybe.
The Original Johnny's?
Ooh, do we go north of the river?
It's 3 days. I literally, it's going to be a long weekend. It's tonight, it's Saturday, and it's Sunday.
Have you ever considered taking a weekend off?
Well,
the Red Lion?
April has been busy. It'll be good.
Okay.
All right, when we get back, would you ever admit to a crime that you did not commit?
I think you might this weekend.
We have to talk about the false confession. I am obsessed with this case. Why would you say you killed somebody if you didn't kill somebody?
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. It is Friday. We will do Festivus Friday coming up right after 5 o'clock here on Dana and Parks.
So we asked in the 2 o'clock hour, we will ask you now. Would you ever confess to a crime that you did not commit? And Sam had a good question. Is someone pulling my fingernails out with pliers? No. Would you ever, to law enforcement in that interrogation room, confess to a crime that you know you did not commit? And I'm telling you, Scott, 100% of the people listening right now are going, hell no, of course I wouldn't do that.
No, no way.
I would never do that.
Nope.
You would be so wrong.
Tell me more.
When you hear how many people, including a local woman that we're going to tell you about here, end up confessing to a crime they did not commit. This is from Katie Moore by the Kansas City Star. After hours of interrogations that started on December 11th, 2020, Lori Ackerman confessed to killing her fiance at their Smithville home. Last week, the 50-year-old was acquitted of second-degree murder by a jury in Clay County. It was like the world was lifted off my shoulders, she said. It was huge. During the trial, her attorney, Eric Vernon, and psychologist Bill Geis presented evidence about false confessions. Geis, who is also a psych professor at UMKC, says, quote, there's just certain things in life that are completely counterintuitive. But research shows that this not only happens, but that it is much more common than you would ever imagine. The National Registry of Exonerations has recorded more than 440 cases where a defendant falsely confessed. What jurors watched in the courtroom that whole week during her trial definitely opens people's eyes to what can happen and what does happen. Okay? So Ackerman had known the victim for many, many years. They were living together.
They were fiancés.
Yep. I don't think they were getting along great at the time. The two got in a fight December 10th, 2020. When they got back home, she took a pistol they kept under their bed for protection. And I don't want to say this out loud. I don't want to read that. She says, he takes the gun away from me and I run down the hall and outside my bathroom. I was in the hallway and I heard the worst sound ever. She called 911 and told a dispatcher that he had shot himself. He was transported to a hospital. She was taken into custody. He later died, right? She initially thought she would answer a few questions and then be released so she could get to him at the hospital. She never saw him again because he died the next day. During that time, she was held and interrogated several times by detectives in Smithville. The first interview, which runs 75 pages long in a transcript, she tells them that Tate took his own life. He pulled the trigger. He shot and fell. I don't remember what he said before he shot himself. I would never shoot him. Police read her her rights, and she says, I remember thinking, why do I need an attorney? I didn't, like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. By the second interview, one of the detectives introduces the notion that maybe both of them had their hands on the weapon when it went off. And they keep pivoting, Scott, and pivoting and pivoting until they finally say to her, there's something you're not telling us. We've all watched Dateline. We know how this works.
Well, but Dana, later in the story, it says during the third interview, you mentioned the second interview. During the third interview, Ackerman, the woman, repeats herself, I would never shoot him.
One of the detectives says, we'll walk you through this, okay? When you had the gun and you had your finger on the trigger, where were you pointing it? Then it starts to shift. She replies, at him? At the end of the third interview, which runs 59 pages in transcript, they said, thank you for being honest. I told you we'd walk through this with you. She says, I don't want to believe it. She was charged with second degree murder and armed criminal action. Quoting here from her attorney, authorities can and have coerced true confessions, but in this case, the police made her challenge her own perception of reality. They assumed that they knew the truth, and they just kept interrogating her until they got the answer they wanted.
Why not accept what she said?
Because Guy says, and this is true, people don't confess ever at the beginning of these things. They confess, quote, his words, after being tortured so long they wear out.
If she had committed the murder, there would be gun residue on her hands.
I agree. And my guess is there wasn't. I mean, she's been acquitted.
Right. So did they not do gun residue on his hands to find out that he actually shot himself? What's the point?
I think in the beginning, I think the detectives always mean well. I really do. Where they are thinking there's probably more to this, you know, especially if it's domestic.
Right.
And they are trying to get to the bottom of what happened. I don't know where it goes from there to what, 19 hours later, they're still talking. Well, however many hours it was, and hundreds of pages of transcripts where they are just slowly wearing her down.
Dana, you and I are not attorneys, but we play them on the radio. Nor are we detectives, but we play them on the radio. If she says, I didn't shoot him, right? Then why not test her hand for gun residue? There is none on her hand. Okay, that may seem to indicate that she didn't do it. Let's go test his hands. And there's gun residue on his hands. That would indicate a self-inflicted gunshot wound. She's telling the truth. Let's not send this woman to prison for 4 years for a crime she didn't commit.
I don't have anything in front of me that gets into gunshot residue.
That's my point.
The story is about the false confession. And
there's a great point on the text line, and this question has come in roughly 100 times in the last 4 minutes.
Okay.
Where was her lawyer?
Another great point.
She was probably alone.
Why?
And my defense attorneys are screaming, saying, you don't ever talk without somebody present.
Sam, because she's scared, dare I say.
Traumatized.
Maybe uneducated. I don't know.
Traumatized.
Probably knew she was innocent and thought, oh, I can handle these interrogations, no problem.
I don't need a lawyer.
Yeah,
I didn't do anything wrong. You never go into an interrogation
by
without
yourself.
a lawyer.
I know. I can hear Tracy screaming right now.
Oh, my God.
Without a lawyer.
Oh, my God. I would never, ever, even if I knew I was innocent, would never go into an interrogation without a lawyer. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798.
I'm not going to say this is super common, but it's not super rare either.
Go back in the story, though. Go back in the story. Since 1989, and you read this earlier, and this bears repeating, the National Registry of Exonerations has recorded 440 cases over the last 35 years where a defendant has falsely confessed.
If you are using intimidation, coercive tactics, isolation, deceptive methods, all of those are legal. All of those are legal, by the way. And I am in that room. I am telling you, I'm the first person that would just say, arrest me. I'm sure I've done exactly. I don't know, because I think I would be so stressed out and overwhelmed, which I wouldn't be because I would have an attorney. But I would be the person going,
From the text line, she was lying from the beginning. Then she changed her story. Where's the evidence that she didn't do it? The evidence is obvious that she did. She confessed. She lied at first and then confessed.
No, I agree with Scott. There's got to be. There has to be.
I would ask this texter, where's the evidence that she did it?
That's right.
It has something to do with your brain and my brain and psychological pressure and how much psychological pressure different people can take. You could probably take a whole lot more than Dana.
There's no way I confess.
Dana, within 4 seconds, would be freaking out.
Now, I couldn't help but notice that she never outright said, I did it. She said, I don't want to believe it because of the story that they were presenting to her, and then they manipulated that into a confession.
913-586-7798. We'll do Festivus Friday coming up right after the 5 o'clock news. 913-586-7798. Story here from CBS News. These are the stories that make me mad. Dana, why do you print these off?
I know, but it's viral. It's gone viral.
A group of people recorded pulling two bear cubs from a tree in North Carolina this week.
Idiots.
Apparently to take pictures with the animals and then leaving one orphaned and potentially injured in the process. In an unsettling video taken by onlooker Rachel Stott, the group of around five people is seen approaching a tree lining in the fence of an apartment complex in Asheville, North Carolina, where the two small cubs are perched on branches. At first, the cubs are partially obscured by the foliage. But as the group gets closer to the tree, A few of the individuals reached directly through the leaves to grab hold of the bears and begin to tug until each animal loses its grip on the branch to which it is clinging. Someone manages to yank one of the cubs away sooner than the other. That person ends up holding the cub as if it were a small child, petting it with one hand, posing and smiling, while another member of the group appears to snap a picture. Later, one of the two cubs seems to temporarily free itself and dart from the area where the group has gathered. The cub runs over to the fence, stands up on its back legs, briefly changes direction and tries again before another individual comes up behind it and seemingly gestures to catch it.
Wildlife officials are furious.
They should be.
They are investigating. No charges as of now. It is illegal to disturb a bear den in North Carolina under state law. I can't believe we're having this conversation. You know why? Where there are cubs, there's a mother.
And I'm sorry that she was not close by.
Oh, that's a step further than I was going to take it.
You're screwing with wildlife.
If the den is disturbed by people, bears can be inadvertently exposed from their den and cubs can become orphaned or die. They are investigating. The woman is screaming in excitement as she's holding this thing up like the child in Lion King.
The cubs will have to be removed, taken into captivity, and raised until they are old enough to be released in the wild as adults.
Because the mom won't take care of them?
Correct.
They will have to remain in captivity until they are between the ages of 4 and 6.
Okay. Sad news that I hate to pass on, but we do sort of have to talk about it out of Topeka. Let me find the post. Remember I got a behind-the-scenes tour of the Topeka Zoo, 6 months ago or something like that? Remember, yeah. I took Sophie?
Yeah.
And one of the first animals that we got to see was Karen the ostrich. And I posted video with me and Karen. She is a riot. I mean,
I'm sorry?
Like a beloved, hilarious loon of an ostrich. And so one of the things my buddy said to me was like, I'm so excited for you to see the elephants and all the things that we've done here, but I'm most excited for you to see Karen because she's just this adored, goofy is the only word I can think of, mischievous ostrich, right? And so they let me feed her. And her little beak would go peck, 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 peck. And we just delighted over this ostrich. They announced on Facebook today, I am so sad, that Karen, the beloved ostrich at the Topeka Zoo, has died.
What did you feed her?
After this week, she was able to grab a staff member's keys. And she was so mischievous, and she liked shiny things.
Uh-huh.
She swallowed the keys.
What did you feed her?
I was there 6 months ago. I just fed her ostrich chow.
Mm-hmm.
According to the news release,
arsenic?
The Topeka Zoo is saddened to announce the untimely passing of Karen, one of our community's favorites here at the zoo. She was a vibrant and beloved ostrich, tragically succumbed to complications arising from consuming a foreign object. The circumstances surrounding Karen's passing serve as a solemn reminder of the importance of vigilance and care in maintaining the safety of our animal inhabitants. And I'll tell you this, the zoo staff loved that ostrich. They are devastated. And it just happened very quickly. She grabbed the keys. Keys go down the throat. They tried to do surgery to remove the keys. It did not work.
Were they stuck in her throat?
I think it was like a set of keys, like a bulky set of keys.
And they got stuck in her throat.
Karen reached beyond her exhibit fence to grab the keys of a staff member. She immediately swallowed the keys. The zoo staff consulted with experts across the country.
Boy, they are dumb.
To undergo surgical and non-surgical efforts to minimize the impact. This is why they tell you don't throw anything into an animal's enclosure, like a popcorn tin or, you know, your soda cup, because the animals sometimes see that as, oh, there's something shiny. I know. I'm so sad.
Oh, I'm also sorry.
And, I feel so bad for the zookeeper.
But she is dumb.
No, she was beloved.
Have you ever seen them feed the hippos?
Yeah.
Where they throw, like, the lettuce into their mouth?
We did it.
Entire watermelon?
Yeah, we did it.
Dude,
super cool.
Do not screw with a hippo.
No, oh, no. We kept a very safe distance.
They are one of the most dangerous animals on the planet.
They gave me a pumpkin. Let me see if I can find it. A gigantic pumpkin and
said, you threw a pumpkin at a hippo?
They said, just toss it in. And I go, wait, you want me to just toss it in? They go, yep, just toss it in. And then I'm telling you, it was the craziest day that we had at the Topeka Zoo. I mean, it really was fun.
Which, by the way, has really improved over the
years. Oh, my gosh.
There was a time, and you remember this, Dana, where the elephants,
it was terrible,
awful.
Terrible.
They were chained. And now the Topeka Zoo has really reinvented itself, and they have changed the way that they operate.
Yep.
And these elephants are not chained anymore.
Nope.
And it is a good zoo. You know what else? You know what other city in this state has a good zoo?
Are you going to say Wichita?
I am. I've been to the Wichita Zoo twice.
Really?
It is a good zoo.
Look at the size of the hippo's mouth. And my daughter was a little, I was like, okay, let's back away. That's a little close.
That mouth is 3 to 4 times bigger than her head.
I know. It's gigantic.
In Africa, hippos kill roughly 500 people a year.
I've always heard that they are deadlier
they are vicious animals. Don't go anywhere near a hippo.
Not when you're tossing a pumpkin into their mouth. Oh, here's Karen. See, there is a photo. Sweet Karen.
Is that the key eater?
That's the key eater. Aww. I'm so sorry.
She's dumb.
Oh, all right. Bless her heart.
Do they have any more ostrich?
No, she was it.
She was the only ostrich there?
She was the only one. Look at me throwing the pumpkin. Yeah, she was the only one. Rest in peace, Karen.
Wordle, the stimulating word game from the New York Times. Apparently, you play Wordle every day, right?
Most every night, yes.
Okay. Is taking a toll on its players' mental health.
Maybe they have other issues going on in their life.
You think?
That's coming from someone who has issues going on in her life. Wordle has not been anywhere near the cause of my breakdown.
Right, but let's just add one more thing that we can't figure out.
Yeah. It's where the bow breaks. It's Wordle.
It's a straw that broke the camel's back. What really brought you in?
Wordle. Wordle.
I had 6 guesses. I got 3 letters.
I mean, my life was spiraling out of control. And
I haven't gotten one right in 12 days.
And then I played Wordle, and it broke me. Says journalist Tess Owen, writing on Twitter this week, my therapist just told me that the New York Times Word Games app is becoming a problem for many of her patients, including me.
Okay.
She admitted that she lied to her therapist about how long she spent playing the games offered by the New York Times. Mimicking her therapist.
If you're spending a lot of time doing it, you're not doing it very well. I mean, really, you should be wrapped up within about 6 minutes.
Jennifer Gittleman, a psychologist in New York, says the word puzzle, which the Times bought from software engineer Josh Wardle,
who made it for his girlfriend,
in 2022, has overtaken some of her patients' lives, getting in the way of regularly scheduled programming.
When it first came out, Dana, weren't you waiting up until midnight to play?
Well, if I was up. If I was up and I noticed that it was like 11:58, I'd be like, oh, there's a new Wordle in 2 minutes. I mean, it is very addictive, but here's the issue with Wordle. You plug in your first word and then immediately you're on your second line, third line, fourth line, fifth line, it's over. If people are spending hours doing this, do you not know the alphabet? What are they doing?
Would you consider yourself addicted
to Wordle? Oh, God, no.
Do you wait up until midnight to play Wordle?
It's been days since I've played. I used to have a streak going, and then that would bother me if I lost my streak. But then once I lost it, I never went back.
I'm 5 days sober
from the Wordle.
Sam, I just saw your tweet. What is happening in college football, please?
Oh, they're bringing in the 2-minute warning.
This is breaking news in the world of college
this
football.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
yes.
Whoa. Uh-huh. I don't like this at all. I hate the 2-minute warning.
They're bringing in the 2-minute warning, and even more important, because the 2-minute warning is, you know, whatever, even more important is they're bringing in helmet communication. So there will be no more sign stealing.
You're kidding.
What does this mean? The use of helmet communications will be limited to the FBS levels. What does that mean?
So that's the top five. That means
Power 5 conferences.
The Power 5 conferences.
But the use of sideline tablets is being permitted for all three NCAA divisions.
So do you remember watching a college football game?
Yes.
And there would be three guys over there, and one would hold a placard that had a picture of Taylor Swift,
yes.
Barack Obama,
yes.
a circle, and a square. And then there would be a guy next to him with a picture of Donald Trump and Joe Biden
yes.
and a triangle.
Because they don't want you reading their yeah. Denny's menus.
And you don't know which guy to look at. And then one of those guys in front would be doing signs. And they would be, that guy is signaling in the play.
Teams can have up to 18 active tablets for use in the coaching booth, sideline, and locker room. The coach-to-player helmet communication became a hot-button issue during the 2023 season after revelations about impermissible scouting by a Michigan staffer to
Jim Harbaugh.
Yep, try to figure out opponent signals.
Why
wouldn't they have done this earlier? And in baseball, they still do the signs. Why don't you have a tablet with the third base coach who does this?
Now in baseball, they do have earpieces.
They do?
Yes.
There's no more bunt sign where if I touch my belt, it means bunt. I just gave away our sign from softball when I was 12. Sorry.
No.
Oh, yeah, they're going to go back and sign steal.
I hate this.
Why?
Because I always enjoyed looking at the sidelines and seeing like three guys standing there with placards.
But they've had this technology in the NFL for years. Yeah. Why would it make...
But in college football, it was always fun because you don't know which guy to look at.
Well, and their argument was dumb in the first place. They said they didn't use it at the college level because of cost, because some schools wouldn't be able to afford it.
Oh, garbage.
In college football?
Have you ever priced a walkie-talkie? Obviously, I know it's more advanced than that, but it's not that expensive,
no,
guys.
No, it's not at all.
Have you seen the video, by the way, speaking of the Chiefs?
And the two-minute warning,
have you seen
that.
The video of Patrick Mahomes throwing to Hollywood?
The what?
You've been gone. They're starting to practice together.
What is the Hollywood?
Our new player, Hollywood. There is video all over social right now of
Who's
Patrick,
Hollywood?
Our new guy.
I didn't know we got a new guy.
We got a new guy.
I was out of town.
Oh my gosh, Scott. The video. Oh, it's going to be a good year.
Is he hot?
No, he just is lightning fast.
His name is Hollywood Brown.
Thank you.
He is
How do I know this
fast.
And you don't?
Because I was in Cancun.
I assume he's a wide receiver.
He is. He has been on the team since before you went to Cancun.
This was one of the videos of his catch from Mahomes. He just launches it and then boom, like a dart, catches it. This next year is going to be so fun. He's our new Tyreek.
Yes, he signed with the Chiefs on March 19th, and he is incredibly fast. Also, Rashee Rice.
Taking Rashee Rice's place?
He posted on Instagram doing workouts.
Yeah, before I go to prison.
Okay,
not a good look.
Okay.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. Festivus Friday coming your way right after 5 o'clock here on Dana and Parks. A woman in London, 35 years old, who sent thousands of greeting cards to Harry Styles, has admitted to stalking the pop superstar. She's been sentenced to 14 weeks behind bars. Hold on. I'm doing the math as we speak.
Please do.
Myra Carvalho mailed the 30-year-old singer 8,000 cards in 1 month. That is 266 cards a day. Let's say she sleeps 8 hours a night. She's awake for 18 hours a day. That is 14 cards per hour for one month.
No, that's expensive.
14 cards per hour
that's
for
an
entire
feat.
Month.
Okay. Was she writing them all by hand?
Okay.
I mean, just the resiliency of this woman. It's impressive.
He should write a song about it.
You said she admitted to stalking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we
is
even needed her to admit it.
Stalking?
At that rate?
She pleaded guilty to stalking.
Yes.
Involving serious alarm or distress. This is in England. And was hit with a 10-year restraining order in which she is barred from contacting Harry Styles. She also is sentenced to 14 weeks behind bars.
Yeah.
She has
Get a lot of letters with no return address.
She's also been ordered to stay away from Northwest London, where Styles lives, or attending any event where the singer appears, including his concerts.
Oh.
Hmm. The defendant, who's been staying at a youth hostel in Chelsea in Southwest London, which is where me and the girls actually lived for a week, was also ordered to pay a victim surcharge of $167. Hmm.
Do we know, by the way, with the dual release of Taylor Swift's album, like how many downloads? Like, when will they come out with that?
It has already broken records.
What is the? It has to have broken records.
Let me look this up.
I looked at my phone, and my son was with me last night. It was Jack's birthday yesterday.
Yep.
And he and Olivia were like, "Oh my gosh, it's almost 11 o'clock! Like, pull up your music. This album's about to drop."
It says here, this is from Billboard, another day, another record broken by Taylor Swift. In less than 12 hours, Swift's new The Tortured Poets Department double album has become Spotify's most streamed album in a single day in 2024.
Yep.
So far, according to Billboard. The 31-track set snags the honor from the previous record holder Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter.
Oh. He hasn't heard Yaya yet, Sam.
Let me see what other records it's broken.
I really want to give you one of these songs, but I don't know if any of them are clean.
We got to be careful. We don't know. Sometimes she drops
some of them.
Word.
And you know what? So I saw this on my Facebook page. Somebody said, "I just wish she wouldn't use that one word." And I thought, okay, she is a 34-year-old woman who is singing about her life experience.
The same person listens to Post Malone Jelly Roll.
And if you're 10-year-old or 12-year-old, you know, I'm sure that they've heard that word before, first of all. Then skip the songs that are explicit, right?
She is breaking every record that Spotify has.
She says that her new works reflect events, opinions, and sentiments from a fleeting and fatalistic moment in time, one that was both sensational and sorrowful in equal measure. She also said the time is here to close it and board it up. There is nothing to avenge, no scores to settle once wounds have healed. And upon further reflection, a good number of them turned out to be self-inflicted.
We got to run. Quick break for the news. Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.